Welcome to the Fast Five by Fear and Greed. I'm Michael Thompson, and good morning, Sean Aylmer.
Morning, Michael.
Today, Sean, in just 5 minutes, we want to find out what's in store for property prices. 2021 was an incredible year with prices soaring right across the country, but Sean, it does appear the market is cooling.
That's right. In the last few months of the last year, we saw auction clearance rates dropping, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne. Fixed mortgage rates were rising, and there was a bit of intervention from regulators as well. Tim Lawless is the Research Director for Asia Pacific at CoreLogic. Tim, just how big was 2021?
It was a huge year for housing. In fact, we saw value growth of more than 20% over the year. It's been the strongest market conditions we've seen since the late 1980s, just to put it into some context. And we've seen housing transactional activity the highest in nearly 20 years. So I think in all contexts, it's been an absolute boom for housing markets through last year.
Okay, so that was 2021. This year, what's going to happen, Tim? We all want to know.
I think it's going to be remarkably different this year. I think we will see housing growth rates in terms of values substantially lower than what we saw last year, probably well and truly below double-digit figures, so maybe 5 to 7% growth nationally over the next 12 months, and a lot more diversity as well. Last year, we saw every capital city recording growth rates up around the 15% mark plus, most cities above 20%. This year, I don't think we'll see any capital cities recording growth above 15%. But I think we will see some of those smaller capital cities like Brisbane, Adelaide, potentially Perth as well, outperforming the larger cities, which is something we haven't seen for quite a few cycles so far, driven by things like affordability, stronger demographic trends, and this renewed shift towards regional markets as well, I think will probably persist for some time yet as well.
Okay, why do you think regional markets will do well and potentially, I think you're saying, outperform at least the very large capital cities?
Well, last year we saw regional markets outperforming as well, and I think this will be a trend to look forward to. We are expecting growth rates will ease in regional Australia as well, but we are seeing more and more employers formalising their working from home policies now, or generally hybrid working policies, which combine working from home with working from the office. So for that reason, I think it will be those regional markets that offer up the blend of commutability as well as livability and potentially affordability that are the most popular. So markets that are adjacent to the major metros, areas like the Central Coast or Newcastle in Sydney, down to the Southern Highlands and Shoalhaven, for example, in Southeast Queensland, the Gold Coast and Sunshine Coast. In Victoria, markets like the Bass Coast and Surf Coast, probably very popular in Geelong. So I think that the regional markets definitely have some room to move upwards further. They are generally still more affordable than the capital cities. And that remote working trend, I think, is going to be one of the more permanent fixtures that we find post-COVID.
Okay. So if there's going to be a slowdown in price growth, is it around affordability, interest rates, potentially government intervention or regulators' intervention?
Yeah, I think it's all three of those things. So affordability is probably what's already contributing to the most visible slowdown of the market, as well as more listings coming on the marketplace as well. So more listings has helped to reduce a lot of the urgency. But to your point about interest rates, we're already seeing fixed rates rising. And there's a lot of speculation we could see variable rates or the cash rate rising a lot earlier than what the RBA has been forecasting as well. If it's this year, then clearly that's going to slow the marketplace all the more. Chances are it'll be 2023, but there's a lot of speculation around the timing. And then you've got regulation. We've already seen APRA move on tightening up some of their credit policies around serviceability buffers, but we know that APRA have put lenders on notice as well. They've released their macroprudential framework. And one of the key elements of that framework that APRA have included is actually growth in asset prices. We haven't really explicitly seen APRA calling out growth in asset prices as one of the points they monitor in the past. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how APRA responds to the fact that housing prices have risen quite substantially, but are now slowing, at least the growth rate is slowing, which probably removes some of the risk of a tighter regulatory environment this year.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Pleasure.
That was Tim Lawless, Research Director for Asia Pacific at CoreLogic. So, Michael, not quite the growth rates of last year, but 5 to 7%, really that's not too bad if you take a long-term view.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think anyone could really believe some of the prices we saw last year. I certainly couldn't. Great for homeowners, of course, but not so good if you're trying to get into the market. Thank you very much, Sean.
Thanks, Michael.
That's it for today. Make sure you hit follow on the podcast. I'm Michael Thompson, and that was The Fast Five by Fear and Greed.